I'm fearless. Whoa. You may not believe it till you see it. Whoa. I got the warrior spirit. Got a giant inside. And with a lot of work and a lot of time.
This is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Bloem, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode of Walk, Talk, Listen. Good day, everybody. This is another episode of the podcast Walk, Talk, Listen. And as usual, I'm delighted to have today's guest, and she will introduce herself as we always do. Maya, can you please go ahead?
Hey, everybody. It's me, Maya Azucena. I am a Brooklyn girl, but I'm living and performing all around the world. I am a singer, songwriter, award-winning recording artist, and active humanitarian. I quarantined in Turkey.
Okay.
Ordinarily, I would have been doing quite a lot of shows, but instead, I had to stay in place and use that time in another way. And believe it or not, I mean, I got work in Russia live there. Clubs and theaters and cafes opened sooner than any other place I know, to be honest with you. So Russia has live shows going on, and they've been flying me there to perform.
Oh, cool. And were you able to record some new songs as well?
Yes, I used the time to be creative, and I wrote about 10 or 11 new songs.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was talking to a friend, you know, a couple of months ago, and I said, yeah, you know, I wrote about 4 songs. And then I started counting, and I was like, no, I was grossly off. I wrote about 11 songs. It wasn't 4 songs. So at the same time, I still did not feel I was super prolific. I felt, you know what? I tried to give myself the opportunity to slow down. Oh, no, I had the opportunity to slow down, and I took it in the right way. And I allowed myself to be still. I allowed myself to take time meditating and reading. And when I had these flourishes of, you know, creative energy, I would produce something. I would write, or I would, you know, put melody ideas down, and I could get into a recording studio, and I have a home set up also. But I didn't force myself, which I hope in the end of the day, that means that what came out has greater quality, or what will come out will be the what was manifested as a quality and because of that.
Okay.
I hope.
and some of those new songs are already available on your website, or will it?
Yeah, actually, that's true. One of them, I released a song. The song is named You Matter. And that song I did self-release and is out now. So we made a music video using stock, you know, like documentary footage. And yeah, so that song has been released, and I released another song in late summer. The name is Changed My Mind. It's a house music remake of my song that had been previously released. So
okay, great. And the listeners can go to your website. Where can they find the music?
Well, I'm on Spotify and mm-hmm. like all of those platforms, and I am most up to date on Instagram in terms of promotion and, you know, where you can find things and YouTube. So Spotify, YouTube, and Instagram, just using my name, Maya Azucena.
Okay. And we'll make sure that, that we write it in the notes of the podcast as well.
Well, thank you.
Maya, you know that, you know, I started this podcast as a kind of a spin-off of a 100-mile walk that I've been doing for the last 9 years. So every year I walk in a week 100 miles, so 15 to 20 miles a day to raise awareness about hunger and poverty. If you would be asked to walk 100 miles in a week, you know, for which cause would you do that?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it and I, you know, the thing that came to my mind most prominently is like, well, if God told me to walk 100 miles, I would just walk 100 miles. I wouldn't question it. I'd be like, okay, well, God told me to walk 100 miles. I have to do it, you know? So that's kind of how I feel, is that, you know, if he's leading me to do something, that that there's a, you know, there's a blessing in it. My causes, the causes that are close to my heart, are absolutely any kind of, you know, issues with, you know, abuse and marginalization of children, domestic violence, women's empowerment, you know, survivors of sexual violence. Mm-hmm. Those are topics and subjects that are, you know, important to me. Mm-hmm. So if I had to represent an organization, you know, I would probably walk, you know, aligned with one of those types of organizations. But, you know, I would do it because if the reason I say if God told me to do it, I would do it, is because I believe there's a big growth and some sort of meditation inside of walking, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it would give me something that I wouldn't even be aware of unless I did it. Mm-hmm. That's what I think about it.
Okay. And, you know, just for the listeners who don't know, I mean, you are, if I look at, you know, your career and how you, it's always been a combination of, you know, getting out your music, but also being very engaged with, you know, for different causes. You know, when I saw you were involved with Haiti after the earthquake is one example. You know, you've done for stuff for our organization, my organization as well, in relation to hunger, poverty. So, yeah, so it's always been important for you, right? To, yeah, to be in.
To the, contribute. Yeah, to contribute. Yeah. And I think that it's my identity. It's it's deeply within me to that I need to and want to help people. Mm-hmm. And I am an empath. I believe that I feel not just my own pain or issues, but I feel other people's strife and struggle and what they must be burdened with. And I just feel so moved that I want to do whatever is possible to help. And, you know, it's been shown to me and clear to me that music is my superpower. It's my thing that I can reach for that can be used to assist and lend, you know, shed light on these different missions and issues. So yeah, it's definitely integrated. People often say, you know, like, I give back to the community. And the term giving back is really cool and it's important, but it struck me personally, mm-hmm. like, so doing things for other people is an afterthought, right? Like giving back, like after I do everything, then I go back and I do something. But I think for me, I try to think of it as like integrate it with what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So my music is my career, a professional international career. But while I'm creating my music, I'm really deeply considering how can this music help people? And I don't know, that's my approach, so. Mm-hmm.
Drives you in life, you know, what makes that every day in the morning you get out of bed and you think like, okay, this is Maya, this is what I'm going to do. What is that? What is your drive?
Well, my life feels like it's exciting. You know, it can be difficult. I'm an independent artist, which for anyone who's not familiar with the entertainment industry, independent artist means an artist that's basically grassroots, doing it on their own, doesn't have a commercial company backing them, and yet they're managing to create and be a presence. So it comes with quite a lot of difficulty and struggle, but it's never boring. And I'm doing what I absolutely love, and I'm also in my purpose, fulfilling my purpose. So I wake up each day quite excited about life and eager to see what's going to happen today, you know? And I really believe too that my relationship with God is part of that, a big part of it, because I can always be a child in the most beautiful way, knowing that, you know, God is, you know, protecting and guiding and helping me to kind of put the pieces together. And so it has this wonder, life has a wonder to it, and an enthusiasm and an anticipation. And I wake up with that anticipation daily.
You know, when I listen carefully to you, you know, God is important for you. So if you are, you know, looking at the younger generation, what do you think, you know, they think about religion or spirituality? How do you see that? Do you see a difference in the more older generation in comparison with the younger generation, or is it similar? What do you see?
So remember, like, my answer is skewed from the perspective of growing up in America, so I can't say definitively this is an answer for outside of America. Yeah. And also bear in mind that I'm a New Yorker, which mm-hmm. is a planet unto itself, which doesn't even necessarily represent all of America, right? So yeah. I'm not a religious person. So what I see is there's definitely a break from religion, meaning like doesn't seem to be as much emphasis and energy or even respect for religion these days. And at the same time, it's okay. There, of course, are still people who are, you know, and like if we're speaking from a Christian perspective, mm-hmm. There are definitely a lot of Christians who are very engaged and go to church, and that's for sure. That's definite. But I just think in general, it appears that there is less of a sense of respect for religion itself. And there seems to be a huge amount of skepticism around spirituality too. And sarcasm, and just sort of a negative response to things that have a spiritual nature to them. But at the same time, there's like a burst of spirituality and an awakening and a sense of like wanting to be in tune with something other than your material world. But there's been a major shift that I can observe, that I can see. And some of it's created beautiful things, and some of it's, I think, lost something along the way because of the shift. You know what I mean? I know we can't talk all day. So, I mean, what do you think? Like, you know, come back at me, because I mean,
just from my understanding, so that I understand you properly, I think when you talk about, when you say, you know, I'm not religious, or the younger generation is not religious, I think you're talking about institutionalized religion, right? Going to church,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm referring to, yes.
And so what you're seeing is, and what you're saying, I think, in the younger generation is that, okay, church is less important than it was before. And then maybe you see two type of trends among the younger generation. One is, you know, searching for the spirituality is still important. And the other one is even having pushed that away. And although, I think especially this last year, I think we all realize, many of us realize that there needs to be a better sense of being in tune with, you know, Mother Earth, because we are all interconnected. And the reason that we are in this situation has to do with that we are thinking too much about ourselves. I mean, you mentioned materialistic, yeah, to think more about why are we here and how can we be more, show more solidarity, have more sustainable practices. Because what we have been doing so far is, seems to be problematic. Is that kind of a free translation of what you just said?
I am. Actually, I think that you, you understood what I was saying. Yes. When I refer to the word religious, I mean institutionalized religion versus spirituality, which is what I use that term because for me, what's important is a personal, you know, walk and daily practice and relationship with a living relationship with God and with a spiritual, like having a spiritual awareness as a living and daily thing. And not feeling like somehow trapped by customs or rigid ideas of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And that's what I'm referring to personally. The world can't ignore the fact that we're interconnected. I mean, at this point, it's impossible to ignore that we're interconnected, you know?
Yeah. You know, when I listen to your lyrics, I really feel a lot what you're, you know, just trying to express in terms of there is a deeper purpose of, you know, of why we are on this earth. There seems to be always, you know, a message in trying to stimulate the listeners of doing something. So do you get, am I right? So that's the first question. and then the second is, if I'm right, do you see the younger generation responding to that, to your music? Or is it more because, you know, the songs that you have a, you know, the right rhythm so that they can dance to it?
This is first of all, I write my songs, and inside of my songs generally there is some anthemic, you know, or message or a point to it. Mm-hmm. Like I try to write something that has a point. And the thing is because I've gone through things in my life, and mm-hmm. I've been really low, and mm-hmm. I've been really down, and I've been in an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. and I've experienced pain and loss and struggle, and then I feel it in other people. So when trying to reach out of that hole, or trying to reach out of that dark place, mm-hmm. There are some messages that stuck with me and helped me. And that's sort of the arc that's in my songs. It's like, I'm not denying that there is, that we've gone through something, mm-hmm. but when we've gone through something and we're on the other side, there's something that we can celebrate. Or when I'm in that dark place, what reminders would I need, or did I need? And to be honest with you, sometimes I've been really down and one of my own songs will come to my head and I'll just start singing and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be okay. Yeah. Like, and that's something that's like, that's what I want my music to be for other people. So in terms of young people's reactions, I think that young people are very underestimated. I think that a lot of times, and I mean this in the music industry, young people are underestimated. They talk about young people like they're stupid, and all they care about is like the most shallow, ignorant stuff. And I've worked with teenagers all around the world and university age, and I've even written songs with them. And when you give them and say, hey, write what you feel, they're talking about really like brilliant, hopeful, optimistic, lovely things. And so when it comes to me performing for them, I find them to respond really, like really connect with the lyrics, and they like the music itself, but the message is connecting, definitely.
Great. I follow you on Instagram, and you know, I think you often do classes as well, right? With all kinds of generation, but also with young people, and then you make music together. So that's
awesome. I get invited to do master classes. So I do master classes when I'm on tour, and it's very fulfilling. I mean, they're the energy of young people who love something is like unbelievable. It's so cool. Like, and they're thanking me, like coming up to me practically crying, like, you, I can't believe I haven't, you know, they're like so like full, but they don't realize how much they're giving me back. You know, what I walk away with is just as much.
Nice. Yeah. Maya, what are some of the things you worry about at the moment?
Well, I worry about politics in America. I worry about continued injustices against people of color, my people. and so, you know, must continue the good fight. that's something that, these are things that concern me, weigh on my heart, you know, and people who have been really wronged by the system, and trusted the system, but were wronged by it, you know, because we as Americans, you know, talk so much about like freedom and freedom of speech and justice and human, you know, humanitarian, like we supposedly go everywhere around the world and tell other people how to conduct, you know, more humane ways of treating people and things. But we act like we don't have these issues at home, and that really disturbs me a lot. You know, so that's why I like to be connected to people like you who are, you know, interested in like using what we have to help people, to be the change you want to see, kind of thing.
Definitely like that slogan that comes from Gandhi, right? And I was actually a couple of days ago on a panel with his grandson.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was really nice. I would definitely advise people to check out his book. It's called The Gift of Anger. So it's a book of the grandson Arun Gandhi, where he explains the time that he spent with his granddad, you know, and how he learned lessons about life that he's still trying to, practice and share. Now.
Well, I'm going to get that book. I really want to get that.
It's
the
really
Gift
nice.
Of Anger.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
I'm on it.
So, you know, and it's those type of things, and meeting with you and listening to what you do, that gives me hope for the future. Where do you see hope?
I see hope in so many places, and I've been many places.
Mm-hmm.
I see hope in the way that people of all creeds, colors, nationalities, the way that they all can come to a common ground when music is connecting with them. And as an artist, that is a huge, beautiful thing for me to be a part of, and it gives me a great deal of hope, because what it proves at every turn is that people are not as far apart as they think they are. Somebody in one day, I mean, I could go in a year and say, like, in before coronavirus in 2019, mm-hmm. I performed in 25 countries that year. Mm-hmm. Okay. In 2019.
Yeah.
And then that means I sang basically, let's say, the same songs in 25 different countries with different languages and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and people knew the words. The same words in Poland, Germany, Bulgaria, and the messages they understood, and they talked to me about them,
mm-hmm.
and they related. And that's the thing. The majority of us are so much more in common with each other than you can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it on the front line because of music, and that gives me hope. Because we are really given an idea of this planet that we're on through the lens of a very few amount of people. So let's say politicians or news media, it's a small collection of people compared to the massive population. So we get a skewed idea of what it really is, because we're getting kind of guided by what's going to work for the politics,
mm-hmm.
or what's going to work for the news numbers. but we're not seeing the rest of the story and the rest of the information. And divisiveness is entertaining, and entertaining things drive up numbers. So we're not hearing about the things that can make people feel like the world isn't falling apart. We're not hearing about the things that are can help people have a sense of solidarity. Hmm. We're not hearing about those things, but I'm seeing it. And it's very beautiful and it's very encouraging. And I'm very honored to be one part of that, you know, through art.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I totally agree with you also. And there is an enormous power in music. Let us stay there in you know, talking about music. If I ask you to mention a song or a piece of music that embodies what you are about, you know, which song or which piece of music would you mention?
I'm going to actually sing a little bit of it, because I want you to hear the words clearly. And sometimes when I try to just speak my lyrics, I forget them. So I start to sing it. So I'm fearless. Whoa. You may not believe it till you see it. Whoa. I got the warrior spirit. Got a giant inside, and with a lot of work and a lot of time, now I found my pride. You have no idea how many times I'm faced with giving up, but the love in me won't quit. The human spirit's like a phoenix from the flames, fearless. You know, that song is just, I wrote it after going to Uganda and meeting all of these incredible women. And I can tell you that story if we have time, but the song is very me and what I'm about. And yeah, it gets an example of how, you know, you don't deny the struggle or the pains that you're dealing with, but at the same time, you know, there's something great inside of you that's bigger than what people can see on the outside. And if you are aware of it, it's that force that helps you to get through to the next moment and the next moment after that. And that's a fearless spirit inside.
You know, thank you so much for singing that and sharing that, Maya, because I love music. And one of the challenges that I have at the podcast is always, you know, if I insert music, then I get into trouble with you know, the copyright. So mm-hmm. I can't. I can only always refer to it. So this is such a gift that you shared that. And I love that song.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, you gave us permission to use it for our campaigns as well. And yeah, a lot of people resonate with it. It's beautiful. So Thank thanks for you. Sharing and thanks for making the song. And awesome. Awesome. This is also, you know, this is March is the Women's History Month. And we just also celebrated International Women's Day. Is that important for you?
Is Women's History or Women's Month or Women's Day? I mean, of course, yeah. It's important to me, you know. Yes, it's important. I mean, when somebody designates a month or a day, like that's the only day that we can celebrate, mm-hmm. yeah. then I can feel a little sarcastic about mm-hmm. it in that sense. But what I do, yes, I of course I connect with it, and I think, you know, again, being a New Yorker, I have one idea about, you know, the freedoms that women have and can express, But when I go all around the world, and you can say even around the country, we don't realize that women are still facing a lot of resistance to their equality. And, you know, a time like Women's Month allows people to see through the stories that are shared and the features that are done on, you know, on news channels and magazines and things, allows people to see what it's like, you know, to face those obstacles and still do something unbelievably great. You know, there isn't a reason for women to not be seen just as naturally equal to men. It's just no reason for it. There is no acceptable reason. I mean, it's just an easy topic, like, for me. But, you know, when anything challenges a power structure, then you're going to get resistance, because power structures don't want to be shifted. People in power would prefer, you know, hey, it's easier for me. It's easier for me if you stay my slave, you know. I'm sorry it's inconveniencing you, you know, calm down. But, you know, it's not really comfortable for me if you stop being my slave. So, you know, I'm just going to need you to stay a slave while I take advantage of you. Okay. Okay, cool. Thanks for that talk. But that's power. Power structures are like that. People who are in power just are not, they have no intention of giving up their power. So they're not interested in the, you know, the growth and shift and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, people who have a heart and who have eyes to see, you know, shouldn't have a problem with, of course, women are equal to men. Like, we're human beings. We're on the same planet, you know? Yeah.
Great. And no, thanks for that answer. I think my question was wrong, but you took us where I wanted us to go. Bad question, great answer.
Maya won 4-3.
0.
Go.
Yeah, but you know, we're slowly coming to the end, Maya. My last question for to you is: do you have any message or an invitation or a question for our listeners?
Do I have a message, an invitation, or a question?
A message, yeah, an invitation or a question. Yeah.
For our audience. Hello, everybody. I hope that you've been listening. And you know what? I would love to know which things that we talked about resonated with you. Mm-hmm. Because I get invited to do these really great interviews. And we talk about very personal things and very deep things, that, or at least things that are deep for me. And so I'd like to know which of those things that we talked about, like, connected with you. So if Maurice, if you could let us know the best way for people to comment so that we can engage after the interview. Mm-hmm. And people can also reach me on my Instagram, where I'm running my own page. So, you know.
No, I will make sure that I always do that, that, you know, all your information and short bio will be in the podcast notes. I will add actually also an email from myself, so people can, you know, reach out to me or to you. Yeah, nice. I think that's an awesome suggestion. So yeah, thanks for that.
Because we can take these conversations, you know, the conversation doesn't have to end today if people connect it with what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's, I'm really curious about what everyone felt, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. And my, you know, what I can add to that is similarly to all the other podcasts that I've done so far. I've talked with younger generation. I've talked with, you know, a 14-year-old, 21-year-old who have their own NGOs. It's incredible, Maya. So if you talk about hope, you know, that's definitely, there's a lot of hope there still. And that's awesome. So yeah, I would like to thank you so much, and I would like to wish you all the best with everything you do, you know, in your personal and your music career. Because I, you know, I think you're in the to start a new chapter maybe in your mm-hmm. life, right? You just told me that kind of offline. So all the best, and keep on doing what you're doing. It's so, so great. And I for sure will continue to follow you. So I do
appreciate the support. Your support is felt and noticed. And I'm thankful that you invited me to be on your podcast.
No, well, I'm so happy that you said yes. So thank you so much.
Okay. Yes, we'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Walk, Talk, Listen. Please check us out on www.100mile.org or follow us on Facebook or Instagram.